Triple M. Terry for breakfast.
On the weekend, we wrapped up the local government elections for 2017. Of course, reminder that this is a half election, so six councillors were up for the 2017 election, six will be up in 2019. And having a chat now and watching it all from the sidelines is the City of Albany Mayor, Dennis Wellington. Mayor, pretty good turnout this year, would you say?
Well, it was, Terry. The number of electors, or number of ballots that were cast were higher than last year. I mean, generally, it's higher when there's a mayoral election, but this time it wasn't a mayoral election, so it was a pretty good result in terms of turnout. And some minor changes. There were three changes that were interesting in that context. Some very close elections. Councillor Sutton was returned by a majority of about 40 votes. There's a new councillor in Frederickstown, which is Rebecca Stevens. She won by 20 votes. A new councillor in the Kelgan ward, which is Nima Doughty, who won by 4 votes, which is very, very close. I mean, they had to count it about 3 or 4 times to make sure it was correct. Alison Good was returned with a quite a big majority, about 64.6% of the vote. And Councillor Ray Hammond was returned in the Brakesy ward, and Tracy Sleeman was successful as another new councillor in the Vancouver ward, and she defeated City Councillor Nicolette Mulcahy. So three councillors were returned and three councillors were overturned. So it was an interesting exercise as far as that was concerned. And it was three women beaten by three women, which was another interesting dynamic in it.
Great turnout at the local government elections. I think about 35% over in Denmark, 57%. So people down here are very passionate about what's going on in their own backyard.
I think so. They're very interested in what's happening and what's going on and that sort of thing. So it's a matter of being involved. If you want to have some say in how your city is going, you've got to vote, basically, and that's what it amounts to. And it was good to see the high turnout. It's been growing sort of every year, and council's responsibility is to make sure that it's promoted, et cetera, which we did do this year. And the number of candidates was good in terms of 21 for 6 positions. Unfortunately, that means 15 people miss out and are disappointed. But I think the makeup is good. We've still got 5 women on council for the next 2 years, and that's a pretty good mix. I think that's certainly higher than the state average, and it's good to have that sort of diversity in place.
So for our new councillors, I'd imagine this week will be fairly busy getting settled into the North Road offices there?
Well, for the three new councillors, there'll be induction sessions today, which will take all day, et cetera, and explaining to them what their roles, responsibilities are, getting them their notebooks, et cetera, and go from there, and then to explain how the system works. What we did do was to put back this council meeting, because normally there would be a council meeting tomorrow night. But that's too hard for someone to come in on Saturday and then have a council meeting on Tuesday night. So we put it back at a week so they can go through the agenda, et cetera, and catch up with the ideas on how things work. So we put it back for a week as far as that's concerned.
Yeah, well,
so that gives them the opportunity.
Cannot wait for the Doug Anthony All-Stars to grace the stage Tuesday night at the Albany Entertainment Centre. Now grab your tickets through tickettech.com.au. Featuring Paul McDermott. You may remember him from Good News Week on the telly. Also Paul Livingston. He is better known as Flacco, and Tim Ferguson, who's on the line with us now. Tim, a very good morning.
Good morning, Terry. Good morning, everyone in Albany. You're already awake. You've all been out, you know, hunting whales, having a great time. What a great way to spend a weekend.
Tim, I've followed your career closely over the years, and the one thing that stands out for me in my time is, and it wasn't here that long, but it certainly made an impact on me. Don't forget your toothbrush on Channel 9 back in the mid-90s. That was entertaining stuff.
Oh, great fun. You know, we'd steal people's cars, say, you know, I'll give you $5,000 if you let us blow up your Cortina. And because it was a Cortina, they'd always let you blow it up. I have a thing against Cortinas, and that was a good way to take it out one by one.
We had a Ford Escort. I always hoped that you'd come around to our place and take it away and blow it up, because I hated it. It was terrible.
But the Ford Escort, you know, they're still going. I saw one on the street the other day. It was like, my God, there's an Escort, and it's unescorted.
But as well as that, Tim, you've done a range of projects over the years, including the Doug Anthony All-Stars. You know, when you originally were performing between the 80s and the 90s, tell us the origins of Doug Anthony All-Stars, and who is Doug Anthony?
Well, we started as buskers, then we went to the UK, and some fool put us on television. So we're jumping up and down at the BBC, shouting at people. And the next thing you know, we toured the world for about a decade, and had a great deal of fun causing trouble. And, of course, we were praising Doug Anthony at the time, who was the former leader of the National Party.
Oh.
One of the most strikingly ordinary people that has ever walked the earth. And Doug is still walking the earth, quite a legend of a man. And then, yeah, then we parted ways. And then about 4 years ago, Paul McDermott and I got back together and said, well, Richard Feidler's gone to a rival station. And he said, yeah, I've got a job. I don't need you monkeys. But we thought, we always have fun hanging around each other. So we joined again. And since then, we've been back to the UK a few times. And we're touring. But of course, the whole time, Terry, we've been waiting to come to Albany.
Now, when we were organising to have a chat with one of the Doug Anthony All-Stars, they said, oh, you can have a chat with Paul Livingstone, Paul McDermott, or Tim Ferguson. I said, well, I prefer my guests clean-shaven. Have you seen Paul McDermott lately? He's got the castaway look going on.
I know. I mean, it's like we've gone out and bought a dog. I'm not sure why he wants to look like a schnauzer. But, yeah, if you've seen photographs of Paul, that's actually Paul under there. You can tell when he talks. But he's gone for the homeless look. You know, it works out pretty well because wherever he goes in the world, you know, there are always homeless people who let him come and sleep with them in their cardboard boxes. And he loves it. It's good. He can get out of his mansion.
Always good to catch up with Iris from Consumer Protection, 129 Aberdeen Street. Iris, this has been in the news lately. Talk about gift vouchers and how long we can use our vouchers for. There was debate on whether we're going to extend the life of gift vouchers because you know, people don't get to take advantage of these great offers in the time they're given. They want to have a little bit more time. So what's happening here?
Look, at this stage, Terry, I know that there is talk about it, but nothing, no changes at this stage. So whatever the expiry date is on your gift card, make sure that you use that gift card before the expiry date. Some people do hold onto their gift cards past the expiry date and they expect traders to honour them. It is entirely up to the trader. Some traders will extend them and that's fine. But when you take your gift card to be used and they say, no, you've passed the expiry date, well, that's pretty much so.
Because if gift cards are carried over to a new business, then the new owners, well, they're starting at a bit of a disadvantage, aren't they?
Well,
I mean, it's a bit of a burden for them.
It is a burden because the previous business walks away with the money. And the burden's on the new business coming through. So we generally encourage businesses when they're changing hands to honour those vouchers or to make some sort of an arrangement that the new business coming through does get the money for those vouchers. Another thing too is with your gift vouchers, if a business is going out of, if they might be going to liquidation or you know, closing down, we have had a lot of cases where they say you've got to use double the value of that gift voucher in order to be honest. So if you have a gift voucher that's $100 worth, to be honest, you've got to spend $200 in that store. And a lot of people get caught out in that way. So, you know, try to use those gift vouchers as soon as possible. Don't hold on to them for too long. Make sure that you don't waste a gift voucher. Some people even lose them. So just try to hold on to those gift vouchers.
That's always a bit tricky. I think I've lost a couple over the years.
Oh, that's a shame because it's money down the drain. We do on our website have a iShop WA app. Now, if you download this app onto your phone, what it does, it'll lock in your expiry date of your gift voucher and it'll just every now and again send some reminders to you. Use your gift voucher. It expires on this particular date. Usually people put them in their drawers, shut the drawer, walk away, and that's the gift voucher gone.
Do people get caught out by using gift vouchers on items that might not be available? So like a business might say that some products are exempt from gift vouchers?
It's not very common. I don't see that a lot. So generally, the gift voucher is for use in that particular store and they can purchase anything in the store.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
And no word yet on whether we're going to extend the life of gift vouchers out there?
We'll listen out for that. And, you know, if anything does come through, definitely be on the ground informing consumers about it. But at this stage, all remains the same and there's no changes so far.
All right, if you'd like to know more about gift vouchers, pretty important, especially with the festive season not too far off, get in touch with Consumer Protection 129 Aberdeen Street. And Iris, just a reminder again, after last week, the Consumer Protection Awards are back for 2018, and you're encouraging people to put an entry in.
Yes, put those entries in by the 17th of November. Hop online on our website and you can plug away on there.
All right, Iris from Consumer Protection, thank you very much.
Thanks, Terry.
Coming up towards 8 o'clock, it's time for...
Sounds of Albany.
Jackpot looking very nice today as we start off a brand new week. We come in at $1,600 for a Monday. He's back, wants to have another guest. G'day, Carl. In Peaceful Bay, what do you reckon our sound of Albany is?
What about the clay targeting at the rifle range?
Clay targets at the rifle range. Carl, I think you're off target. I'm sorry, son.
Oh, not again. All right, mate.
You are off target. We've just confirmed with our adjudicators. Good on you. Hey, okay. Give us a weather update in Peaceful Bay.
Cloudy but nice.
Temperature sort of below 25 degrees, is it?
Oh, around about, oh, it'll be about 19, 18 now.
Yeah, nice weather.
Beautiful.
Enjoy paradise out there.
Yeah, no worries, mate. I will. See ya.
Wayne's on the line, 13, 27, 10. Wayne, $1,600 on the line. Sound of Albany, what do you reckon it is?
Sounds like an empty pine glass being slammed down on a wooden bench.
An empty...
Empty bar. A pint glass or a beer glass being slammed down on a... On a wooden bar?
Yeah, that's an expensive incident, isn't it? You don't want to be breaking a few too many of those.
No.
Wayne, unfortunately, that is not the one we were after.
No worries. Thank you.
Good on you.
Okay. See you, mate.
And the sound of Albany tomorrow rises to $1,620. You can only play right here at 783 Triple M.